Order, order.
Are there any select committee reports?
The Crown Retail Guarantee Scheme that taxpayers stumped up more than $1 billion for was the subject of an Auditor-General's report to the Finance and Expenditure Committee on Wednesday. Deputy Controller and Auditor-General Philippa Smith insisted the scheme did what it was designed to do.
The scheme was a success. It set out to stop a run on New Zealand banks and other financial institutions, and it succeeded in that. So that's unquestioned.
Ms. Smith noted the scheme's design was rushed.
It had to be done in a day. As soon as Australia had informed our Treasury officials that they were planning a scheme, we needed to match it. So the haste was essential. And some of the features of something formed in haste continued into the scheme.
Ms. Smith said problems with the scheme came about because of Treasury mismanagement.
We think that Treasury continued too long in that reactive and crisis management mode. They didn't move to a more strategic approach to think in broader terms, what were they doing, what were the issues that they had to manage. They did eventually, but perhaps not as soon as they could have.
Ms. Smith said there were questions to be asked about Treasury's practices.
What we do question is why Treasury continued to operate within its policy settings of non-intervention in financial markets when it had intervened. The deposit guarantee scheme was itself an intervention and should, we think, have given rise to questions earlier than it did about what's different, what should we now be doing, how can we work to minimise the Crown's exposure to loss.
Deputy Controller and Auditor-General Philippa Smith delivering a report on the Crown Retail Guarantee Scheme to the Finance and Expenditure Committee. Also on Wednesday, this year's Olympic Games and the country's medal ambitions were the focus of discussion when Sport and Recreation New Zealand underwent its annual financial review. The Sport Funding Agency's Chief Executive, Peter Miskimmon, said there was a clear goal for the London Games.
At the moment for London, the target is 10 medals or more. As I said, nine leading into Beijing, and we won 9 medals. We're also conscious of that flow on to Rio, and a lot of the work we're doing with national sporting bodies now is to not only have one eye on London, but also to think further out to Rio.
As well as the number of medals expected, Labour MP Trevor Mallard had another pressing concern.
What about the colour?
One thing about Olympic Games is hard to predict. And we've stuck with medals. Clearly the colour of the medals is important to this country in terms of our feel good. And we'd like to think that we've got a number of world champions that are going to be able to convert in London. Don't want to put the mocker or any pressure on them.
Mr. Miskimmon stressed New Zealand was up against strong opposition.
I think also I'd say that our investment is significant in a New Zealand setting. If you look at it internationally, at what the Brits are putting into their program, you know, £300 million a year, to our 60 or 55 at the moment. And they're targeting very similar sports that we are. Same with Australia. So rowing and bike, they are enormously successful in those areas. So, you know, getting a gold medal is tough when you're competing against that sort of resource.
That point was elaborated by Sport and Recreation Chairman Paul Collins.
Where we put $7 million into rowing. It's our biggest single sport. There's 14 events at the Olympic Games, and the UK put in £27 million sterling. You know, so we're all it's apples and apples because we're actually after exactly the same medals.
Sport and Recreation New Zealand Chairman Paul Collins speaking to the Government Administration Committee on Wednesday. Next day, the annual financial review of New Zealand On Air was dominated by opposition questions about an alleged conflict of interest on its board. Labour MP Claire Curran used the opportunity to question New Zealand On Air Chief Executive Jane Wrightson about the role of fellow board member Stephen McIlroy.
Does Mr. Stephen McIlroy declare a conflict of interest when it comes to decisions on programmes?
I think that over 20 years we have had board members with almost every range of political view you can imagine around the table. That one has a political view does not necessarily represent a conflict of interest in our view.
Commerce Select Committee Chairman, National MP Todd McClay, sought to clarify the perceptions around Mr McIlroy's conduct.
So my question is, do you believe that Mr McIlroy has acted professionally in his role as a board member?
Yes.
And at all times?
Yes.
Then it was back to Claire Curran, who also sought some clarification.
Is he a member of the National Party, and does he hold other positions within the National Party?
We believe so, yeah, according to the website, yes.
Did Mr McElroy make a complaint about the child poverty documentary through the chair and directly to the chief executive?
No, he raised a question.
What was the question?
He asked about the scheduling within the week of the election and whether that was a good thing or not.
And what did you do as a result of that email?
The chair discussed it, and then we wrote to TV3 and we asked TV3 if there's a way that in the future this might be avoided.
New Zealand On Air Chief Executive Jane Wrightson speaking at the Commerce Committee's financial review of her organisation. That was one of 16 Select Committee meetings held this week. Looking ahead to next week, 12 meetings are currently scheduled, including a briefing on major defence projects to the Foreign Affairs, Defence and Trade Committee on Thursday. I'm Rhys Lyon, and this program is brought to you with funding from the Office of the Clerk.